Morning, confrères, and all members of the Stigmatine Laity, and anyone who might happen by this this reflection on the Stigmatine charism toward communion, toward community. And that was not only communion within the community, but also St. Gaspar's great hope and plan that the Stigmatines might help others to live family community, civil community, and also church community. There was an old saying in monastic tradition, Ars Artium, the art of all arts, est directio animarum, is the spiritual direction. That was in the early monastic tradition and among the fathers of the church. The greatest of all art, with all the works of genius that have been done, on a very different level would be the effort to give spiritual direction to souls. So this entire part 9 of St. Gaspar Bertone is a very lengthy and substantive development of this idea, the different requirements needed in the apostolic missionary and the actual tasks on this highest level of Stigmatine life that one would be asked to give, that he would be asked to give because of extended training and because of having passed examinations and scrutinies and so on, to be deemed worthy for this task and able to do it and capable of giving the time and talent to it. So we've seen the first 5 of the 7 chapters of this part 9, and this today will be chapter 6, the office of the professed of the sodality, numbers 182 to 184, and one more time, the professed were those men handpicked by the Father General to tackle the most perfect priestly activity or to respond through the congregation to the requests of bishops. So let's begin this with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray for us, holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So this idea of preparing men to be capable directors of souls was the perfect work of the priests, is to lead someone back to heaven. That's the greatest thing any one of us could do, to be a stepping stone on the King's Highway, either a directional signal or an actual support for somebody to improve his or her life. So in this part, part 9, chapter 6, he's talking about the office of the professed, these men handpicked to be the representatives of the community in the more difficult missions, in the more proper Stigmatine service. Services. So this chapter 6 summarizes once again that phrase taken from the formula of St. Ignatius of Loyola and repeated by St. Gaspar Bertone in his constitutions. Verbi Dei, quodcumque ministerium, any ministry of the Word of God whatsoever. So earlier in this section, for the grade of the professed, numbers 162 and 163 and 164, this grade is explained on what's required of the men who would be promoted to this level. All of these numbers, of course, find their ultimate basis in the Jesuit rule 645 to 649, where St. Ignatius explains thoroughly his ideal for the ministry of the Word of God. As has already been noted above, this little table here helps us, well, it could help us to understand what the Jesuit founder had in mind. He offers 3 major exemplars, much like 3 stages of evangelization in mind. And this always reminds us of the famous stages of spirituality, the so-called penitential level, the so-called unitive level, and the so-called level of the perfect. And we have this in our arts and also in our trades, to begin to learn something new as a journeyman, then graduate eventually into what might be considered one starts as an apprentice, then becomes a journeyman, and finally a master, plumber, or carpenter, or whatever. So in a similar way, there are stages of progress that both St. Ignatius and St. Gaspar really hoped that would happen in this society, which they understood to be dynamic and alive. First of all, there's initiation into the faith, and that's called catechesis, a catechism instruction. Secondly, instruction in the faith. That would be sacred lectures, really prepared lectures to inspire and to encourage. And finally, exhortation to live all of this in sermons. All of this is developed very nicely by a Jesuit, Father Antonio M. de Alma, who wrote a very wonderful multi-volume record of the Jesuit constitutions. And in his development of St. Ignatius's Part 7, which was the missions, and which St. Gaspar does in Part 9, he's offered this kind of an outline or plan. So in these constitutions, numbers 182 and 183, Father Bertone notes all of these ministries of the Word of God in their Latin terms, concionibus, C-O-N-C-I-O-N-I-B-U-S, meaning sermons, exercitii spiritualibus, retreats, lectionibus ad vitam aeternam consequendam. This would be like a pep talk, either in class for information or lectures as exhortation, a kind of a pep talk to live their lives better, to reach eternal life. And then, of course, explanare rudimenta fidei et moram, presertum rudibus et puris, that a very important stigmatine mission is to teach the rudiments of faith and morals, especially to the young and the unlettered. And it gives forth suggestions on how this would be in the oratories. As we mentioned, this great invention or discovery of St. Gaspar, very much like our old Catholic Youth Organization, CYO, in the United States, a group of young folks would spend their days free together. Part of it would be prayer. There'd be recreation, picnics, sports, even music lessons and tutoring for their schools, for their classes. These were all, as you know, peasant children, very poor ruffians on the streets of Verona, much like the classic in France, Les Miserables, the abandoned. And not only in oratories, but also in public and private catechisms. Now, we still do this a little bit as a church. For example, premarital instructions, or the preparation of families for the baptism of a new member of their families. But it's greatly been lost in the lives of most stigmatines. It would be wonderful if a pastor could call upon men truly, truly good at this apostolate. Then not only teaching catechism, but hearing confessions of all, again, especially of the poor and of the unlettered. And finally, to induce or to lead or to encourage all to this required frequenting of the sacraments. Just a brief word on lectures. I'm sure we've done this before. They're called sacred when they are delivered in church, intended for the education of the people. School lectures, as in seminaries or universities, are meant primarily for knowledge. Sacred lectures, though, are different from sermons, because the sermons are aimed primarily at stirring the heart, and lectures stirring the mind, to inspire people to apply the doctrine they have learned, that they would also then try to live it in their lives. So this chapter 6 of part 9 then covers the same ground in a way as chapters 2 and 3 of this same part 9. However, there is much repeated emphasis on ministering to the youth. Of the 7 chapters in part 9, 3 of them are concerned with educating the youth, spiritual direction of the youth, teaching the youth over and over again through the teaching in seminaries, oratories, in private instructions and conversations. The hearing of confessions, especially of the young and the unlettered, are noted repeatedly in Constitution 6 of St. Gaspar 163. Catechism is presented in numbers in chapters 2, 4, and 6 of this very important section. So in the original constitutions, this is the array of ministries as part of the apostolic mission of the professed members. But before what they do, they are meant to be something, to be truly men of example, of knowledge and competency. So number 182, the first number in this chapter 6, while the express text has not been found verbatim in Suarez, its substance is clearly there. And I found this in Suarez's chapter, book 1, chapter 6, whether the society is meant to be contemplative or active. And the answer, of course, is both together, contemplativos en acción, contemplatives in action, with the activity flowing out of the contemplation, as is found also in the modern church document on the liturgy. So it is clearly stated that the principal task by St. Ignatius of the society is to work for the spiritual salvation and perfection of their neighbors by making use of all the fitting means. And there are so many, there's a gradated listing of these. The main task of the Jesuit is described by Ignatius as leading souls in the way of Jesus Christ. Not only that they get over the finish line, but they do so perfectly. Not only they be saved, but they be saints. Now, a theologian might quibble a bit with that, because if you're saved, you are a saint. But here on this earth, you can understand one who thinks she's already arrived and has no need, further need, of trying any further in any area of the spiritual life. So the Jesuit is trained to seek through that grace the particular gift of illuminating and directing men and women in their spiritual life. It's not an easy task. And not everybody that does it is good at it. It's not meant psychiatric or sociological or political or any of these things. It's meant to be spiritual. And that's a whole realm of its own. And sometimes it loses its appreciation because it's not done properly. It's a lot of fuzz or fluff, as is sometimes said. So these professed are called not so much to be the teachers of the Holy Spirit, but ministers assisting their own members in their salvation. We listen to the inspiration, try to be apt instruments of the Holy Spirit, and remembering the old principle of causality from the paintbrush of Michelangelo, the closer the instrument is to the hand of the master, the more beautiful will be the end result. And that's the idea of trying to draw close to Jesus Christ and why qualities of an apostolic missionary must never be overlooked. For these purposes, the primary role of the society, as of the church, is contemplation. In the document of Vatican II on liturgy, it says the ministry of the church is subordinated to and leading toward a deeper appreciation of the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ. So the end or the purpose of these communities is to generate perfect men and women, or in the community, perfect ministers, and then lead to the apostolic work of better members or to strengthen the spirituality of the church. This is an insight provided by the monk Pope St. Gregory the Great. He really was frustrated as Pope, if you can understand that idea. He had been an administrator, and he believed he was made Pope because of his administrative abilities. He served Rome in a unique way as regional governor, a layman. He served Rome in a most unique way, so that when the challenge of it all ended and there was the way he handled a plague of illness after the floods, he was much loved by the Roman populace. So when his predecessor died, they all wanted Gregory to be their leader. So the principal activities of the society, therefore, are those spiritual actions that proximately and of themselves are ordained for spiritual growth, the progress of souls. As a result, it is necessary primarily and more principally for the society to orient its members toward the contemplative life, the principal source of all mission in the church. Augustine includes doctrine and the Word of God as acts and as participants and as a result of the contemplative life. So when we see that the Jesuits and the Stigmatines were meant or ordained or professed for the progress of souls, that would be different in a way from a missionary society. Its main purpose is to convert people, convert non-believers, or a society of school teachers. Their main purpose is to teach. whereas the main purpose here is a spiritual development of spiritual progress. So spiritual activities are intimately connected to doctrine. Attende tibi et doctrine is what St. Paul said to first in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look after your own self and also your doctrine, your learning. So as a result, these divine truths are handed on not only in public lectures and sermons, but also in secret, private confessions, conversations, and instructions or spiritual direction, as these are presented in the constitutions we are considering, 182 and 183. Remembering that beautiful phrase from Suarez, copied by Father Vittoni in number 168, a pure conscience is the seat of genuine wisdom. When a person is living, so knowledge of Christ is not only being able to explain the dogmas of Christology, it's to try to put on the mind of Christ Jesus, to come, follow me, to make his judgments as we can see them through Scripture, to be what motivates the work of the Church. This is all recorded by St. Gaspar, number 168. So therefore, the society was founded to perfect other priests. One of the main purposes of religious orders of men in the European world for centuries was to renew the Church from within. Even St. Francis, go and rebuild my church. And St. Francis, as you know, thought the Lord meant the little chapel up there in San Damiano outside of Assisi. But it was the major church that the vision supposedly intended. So these perfected priests then are to be totally committed to the perfection of their neighbor through priestly tasks. So this is like, I guess, the difference between a job and a vocation. Those who have a job, 9 to 5 or whatever, serve the Lord mightily in their routine. But this ideal is more absorbing, more total. Even on vacation, a man was meant to be a Jesuit or a Stigmatine. Spiritual activities are intimately connected then with the divine realities. And the society of Jesus, though, as a result of all this, does not pray the breviary and choir, as we have seen. But like all clerics and major orders in the Catholic Church, every one is bound by sacramental promise in the ordination of the diaconate ceremony to pray this prayer of the Church every single day. This sacrifice of praise for the flock, for the Church and the flock of Christ. In the Advent breviary of the Liturgy of Hours, there is a magnificent document by Pope Paul VI that came out in 1970 when he published the new manifestation, a new adjusted manifestation of the Roman breviary, now called the Liturgy of the Hours. There are 10 beautiful pages in there in his document called Canticum Laudis, that life is meant to be a canticle of praise. And this beautiful document shows that when the Church prays these words of Christ, the Church in faith is continuing through history the prayer of Jesus Christ himself. He prayed the Psalms and the other readings concerning him, either Old Testament preparation or New Testament realization. Then the spiritual life, spiritual authors of the early Church, how this should be developed down through the years, as well as teachings of the Magisterium. This society was not founded for monastic prayer, for choral recitation of prayer, but rather be totally committed for the salvation of souls through sermons, retreats, exercises, lectures, leading the faithful to more frequent confessions and the like. So under the word of preaching, if we could put quotes around that word, there was understood all the ministries of the Word of God whatsoever. That's the ministry of doctrine, the ministry of communicating the Word of God has to be preferred in the society over other ecclesiastical ways of serving, such as in chant or psalmody. So St. Gaspar also has a very broad understanding of teaching as one of the prime aspects of the apostolic mission. It can be communicated in the words listed above. It is a coextensive with preaching in some of its interpretations. Teaching catechism is a ministry proper to the Society of Jesus as one of the ministries of God's Word. Another interesting reality is, very early in Jesuit formation, before a young Jesuit novice took his first vows, there were six experiences that he had to do, experiments of living the height of religious life. For example, they had to go for a month and work in a hospital, just work as an orderly, doing some of the lowest tasks so that they would remember where they came from and where they're headed. It was also meant to be a kind of an act of charity. There were also experiments of seeing how a novice does teaching catechism. And most of us as novices did a bit of that, at least as postulants. Thirdly, a 30-day trip. In other words, they had to go on a trip for 30 days to get from the novitiate to the house of studies. As I've mentioned in the life of the Jesuit scholastic, St. John Berkman, he made his novitiate in Belgium and was told by the novice master, your next assignment is a month from today in Rome. Get there as best you can. Without money, without anything. So they begged to get their way down. There was no buses or trains or trolleys. There might have been carriages or stagecoaches, but this, and his diary is full of the experiences and how every house that took him in, he taught them catechism. So, of course, he's considered one of the all-stars in the great, brilliant Jesuit tradition. So the teaching Christian doctrine is an expression used constantly in the constitutions. It was even used as an ideal before the Constitutions was written. It's noted in the famous five chapters, or five points, that Ignatius wanted and expressed in his formula, namely the end, the purpose of the Society of Jesus, the modality of missionary obedience, corporate Jesuit obedience, apostolic poverty, and then those miscellaneous, no specific Jesuit habit or no specific Jesuit choir for the breviary. That the catechetical ministry is the one each was called to perform 40 days a year, as we saw in other contexts. The early documents of the society speak of teaching the first elements of the faith. The pressing motive for catechizing children and uneducated and the uneducated, the pressing need for such basic instruction in every age, our own included. Nothing is more fruitful, both for the edification of our fellow believers and for the practice of charity and humility of Jesuits and their very competent and excellent men. Catechetical teaching comes fully under the heading of the priestly ministries of the Society of Jesus, and it was historically their first ministry. Ignatius himself would gather the children in Rome, the urchins as they were called, around the Jesu and just chat with them a while about what they were interested in. And then once he won their friendship, began teaching them catechism, the prayers, and visiting the church, the Jesu, nearby. By the way, that Jesu still stands today, and the rooms of St. Ignatius are still available if anybody wants to visit, within a mile of St. Agatha's General House. Then 183 is the hearing of confessant. Remember, St. Gaspar was an invalid for 40 years. So practically this was one of the main services that he could render. And again, especially those of the unlettered and the youth. And the ministry of trying to convince the young and the unlettered to come to confession more often. Number 44, 118 and 163 and 193. This sacrament served as a prime Jesuit mission. It is one of the principal ministries, as we find in Numbers 642 following of the Constitutions of St. Ignatius, and the hearing of confessions and the administration of the sacraments. So the sacraments, as we understand them in our Catholic faith, were instituted for the sanctification and the building up of the body of church. It's like being incorporated, embodied within the church. Of the nuptial theme, the ideal is to become one flesh, the husband and wife become one. And this is the ideal of communion that St. Gaspar used and saw in the espousals of Mary and Joseph. So these sacraments not only confer grace and to live faithfully, they also help us to worship God and to carry out evangelization. Pope Paul VI, in his beautiful Evangelii Nuntiandi, stressed the intimate connection with these sacraments, with the Word of God, from which they can never be separated. Every time the Eucharist is administered, the Church is asked to give a few words of catechesis to the administrating priest who's giving out communion. So the administration of sacraments, particularly penance and baptism, the sacraments of the anointing of the sick, or in, they were called in the founder's time, the last sacraments of the Church, are also mentioned in another segment of the founder's constitution, our ministry to the dying, the great care we try to give those who are being on the very threshold of eternal life. So the spiritual consolation of the faithful then, also so that they will become better believers and more convinced missionaries. So over and above religious instruction, the Jesuit ministry included that of consolation, exhorting, and in some ways bringing about encouragement. That's an old biblical idea of the famous paraklesis, this ministry of the Holy Spirit to encourage people, like St. Barnabas is described in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 32, that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, a son of encouragement. And any clown can say the whole thing has fallen apart, but the Church needs prophets to say there is hope in rebuilding. Let us go and repair the Church, at least that aspect of it, in our own lives. So the apostolic missionary is not some kind of a functionary in administering the sacraments. It's often facetiously been said that when the Mass becomes routine, said every day, offered every day, prayed every day, it sounds like a tobacco auction, and the signs of the cross often look more like chasing flies than an act of devotion. My old professor, Gary Gulagrange, did say after his course on the Trinity, that he would be much rewarded if at the end of his course, those of us who were there would make the sign of the cross with more devotion and pray the glory be after each decade of the rosary and after every psalm with a greater devotion. So we're not mere functionaries or sacramental machines. We're meant to be men who believe in these things. Once facetiously I heard a sad priest who had lost his faith said he found no inspiration in rubbing oil on people's bodies. Well, if that's a description of the sacrament of the anointing, stay home. But if you really believe in this sacrament, then as it's intended, the anointing shows a greater participation, a greater belonging to, a greater orientation to Christ on his cross. So as the spiritual needs occur and they change and develop, the superior has the duty of considering whether others too, in addition to those assigned to as confessors, ought to attend to the administration of this sacrament. In other words, they really took this sacrament very seriously and really prepared for it. And I can say quickly, in the first 10 years of my stigmatine life, we had old rules that we couldn't hear the confessions of nuns until we were 40 and women until we were 35. Well, of course, that's all gone now. The big penitents are usually the women who do come to us. So, but some spiritual and theological preparation is necessary. Well, thanks for listening. We'll continue this part 9, chapter 6, in our next reflection. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray, Holy Spouses, that we may be worthy of the promises of Christ, and St. Caspar Bertone, please pray for us.